From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is Commodity Week for the 7th day of February. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk with Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson from right here in Champaign County, Mike Zuzalo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas, and Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. Our special guest today, Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises out of Cedar Falls, Iowa. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org. I think today we'll start our questions with you, Dan Zwicker, and we'll take a look at where you believe we happen to be in our shorter-term cycles, given what's been happening in the marketplace, please.
On corn, I believe we're starting a new 40 to 45-week cycle that started here at the end of month, into January. And I think we're in the early stages of that cycle, and the uplift to that cycle, I think, is at least in position to take us on into an April-May type high. Soybeans, I think we're very similar in that situation. I'm not too sure we can go all the way into May, but just from a cyclical point of view, I'm kind of in the positive camp. That we're going to move higher at least through late winter and on into early spring.
For those not used to cycles, the beginning of the cycle would be the bottom end, and then we would move through the top end. Jackie Vakes, so when you take a look at soybeans, are there reasons to consider now differently than what Mr. Zuzalo is talking about? Because there are lots of things happening between now and the planting season.
We just have a tremendous amount of positive movement in the market. We saw what the gains were this week, but I think it's important that if you're sitting on beans and you cannot logistically move them, we have 400 million bushels of beans sitting down in Argentina that we know are going to move, and they usually move about almost 2 months from now. There are rumors out there today that they're definitely going to start to move into the pipeline the end of the month, and you know, the government, if you understand how they operate, you know, it's all about taxes. In addition to their regular income tax, they have to pay 35% of the value of a bean in tax or corn, and the government wants that money. So there's going to be even more pressure there. They've been hanging on to them primarily because they're priced in U.S. dollars. So, you know, holding a bean or a corn down there is just like holding a dollar in your hand. And they're paid in their local currency. So if you're sitting on beans, I really think you need to be looking at it. And you can cover yourself all the way out into July with a $13 put. I think they were 30 cents today, just to give yourself the comfort of knowing if they come into this market heavy, and then let's couple it with the possibility of a China cancellation, it could take a lot of wind out of our sails.
All right, and Mike Zuzalo, so we have different views, and I'll come back to Dan and see where he really stands on this issue. But how do you view the longer term over the next month to 3 months for soybeans?
You know, the thing I think that Jackie hit on is I think the trump card really is the Chinese cancellations. The rally we saw this week and the strength in the prices this week and the return of the new contract highs and the bull spread, and the fact that the July Nov bean spread now looks like it did a year ago today, back in the February time period of 2013, Todd, I think goes back to the fact that we didn't see Chinese cancellations on the export sales reports. Once we do start to see those, and that the Chinese don't need the meal and don't need the demand, and those demand expectations that the trade has right now that are very, very high, if those expectations aren't met because China does cancel, I think that really is the trump card, and you probably are due for a pretty substantial setback. But I don't want to try and weave too much in between the two people, Jackie and Dan, but I do respect both their opinions, and I think you could have it both ways, where you could have a substantial setback in price but not break the uptrend in the beans simply because your weather is taking supplies down. And I think Ed Kieser's weather report's very, very appropriate here, where the next week to 10 days, I mean, even the biggest co-op in Brazil said on Friday, we've got some problems, and we've lost some yields in soybeans. They're not talking about Safrina corn yet, like Ed's talking about, but, you know, these things are going to work into the medium term, so you could have a pretty substantial punch to the downside on Chinese cancellations, but the market may see that as a buying opportunity because you've cut some supplies.
So, Dan, I'll bring it back to you. Fundamental reasons to support a move higher?
Well, on corn, export demand is just on fire here over the past 3 or 4 weeks. You can see that by the weekly sales numbers that we've had 2 weeks in a row. We've had over 1.7 or 1.8 million tons of corn sold. I think that pretty well tells you that USDA is going to have to raise their overall export number over time. Whether or not how much they raise up Monday, we'll have to kind of wait and see on that. The flip side is the China situation. I think most feel that China will cancel some corn. They've got a little bigger crop than what they thought they had here a few months ago. So, but I think there's going to be enough demand to offset that and still allow exports to maybe creep their way up to 1.6. Then I think ethanol demand number is going to go higher. So I think demand could be 200 million higher than what USDA is using. And then all of a sudden, you subtract that out of the carryout, and you're talking a carryout maybe of 1.4, a little bit above 1.4. Now, that is still a very adequate supply compared to what we've kind of grown accustomed to over the past several years, but it's a significant drop from what the market worked into the prices during the fall months in the first part of January. So I think a lot that is some of the reason why we're seeing big interest in owning corn and why our corn exports have taken off.
Are there fundamental reasons for the soybeans to move cyclically higher?
Well, the South American crop isn't made yet. I do know that we are harvesting some early beans, and we're going to harvest some February beans. But there's still some growing season left of the South American crop. We don't know, for some reason, usually when South America gets ready to pump soybeans out into the world markets, they get into log jams in their ports, they get into dock worker strikes, and whether or not China believes that they will be a reliable supplier on a timely basis, that's the question. And I think that is one of the reasons why they've been big buyers of U.S. soybeans, is that we are a timely supplier, reliable supplier. And we'll have to see how that plays out. Now, that wouldn't surprise me to see some sales cancellations along the line. But remember, the old crop balance sheet is still very skinny, and there is going to be a need that we need to grow a good new crop soybeans before prices go into a meltdown situation.
WASDE numbers, Jackie, are due out, as Dan mentioned, next week on Monday. So we'll be looking at the world agricultural supply and demand estimates. Will they change carryout numbers for corn or soybeans at all?
Oh, I think that the expectation, certainly when you look at the average guesses, is that we could go down anywhere from about 25 million bushels to maybe a little more than that. Expectations are for an increase in exports of about 50 million bushels on the corn side. It goes right along with what Dan was talking about. On the beans, they're only looking basically for about a 5 million bushel reduction. You know, I think it goes back to what we've always said, and Dan was talking about it, being a reliable supplier. And I think that's another reason we've seen beans rally in old crop, is just because we know that we are at a very tight supply situation. You have to raise price to be able to slow down export sales. And yet, at the same time, it doesn't put us outside of risk. So I don't think that, you know, unless we have a big surprise, it could be a very, very dry report and not a whole lot come out of it.
Are you of the same opinion, Mike Zuzulo, dry report?
Well, it could be because I just found out, and I haven't confirmed this, but the baseline report is supposed to be out next Friday, a week from today, and mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be out the week following before their big meeting. And so if we get a Friday baseline projection report, then I really don't care much about the Monday report, especially as it pertains to the new crop.
You mean baseline from CBO?
I'm sorry?
From the CBO, right?
No, I'm talking about the Office of Chief Economist at USDA. And like I said, I haven't gotten that confirmed, but someone is reporting that right now on the Newswire.
No, that's not right, Mike. The CBO, you know, the
Congressional Budget Office,
they're going to come out on the 13th with their numbers, which were totally different than last year's numbers that actually came out at the Ag Forum on the 21st.
Yeah, and I think that's right. And, Mike, you're seeing something else being reported, so I understand what you're talking about.
But I think I was under the impression that the OCE numbers would be coming out the following week, too. But if we don't have any baseline numbers next Friday, then the big thing I'll watch is to see if we do see the corn exports increased, but the USDA plays around with the feed and residual by lowering it. So like Dan was talking about, I think the number is below 1.4 or closer to just under 1.5 billion bushels, but USDA may decide to try not to do that to keep the market from getting too flushed because the demand has been so strong.
Okay, I want you all three to take up new crop as it relates to crop insurance, because now's the time. We're into February. We're setting prices. Producers should be thinking about risk management. They will have a percentage that's not covered one way or the other. So what do they do? And maybe, Mike, we'll start with you and work our way back around.
Well, I did a little bit of corn selling in the old crop because the basis is held up, and we did get up to 450 in the May futures. So selling some April corn next week doesn't bother me at all. Getting some March 450 puts in place for a dime doesn't bother me at all for a portion of what you have left. I think the new crop needs to be worked on more aggressively next week. If we can hit 470 on the new crop D's futures, Todd, and if we can get the new crop beans back to 1129 and test that old high, if we fail there, then I think catch-up sales for new crop would be real warranted as well.
Dan?
I think corn, the chart pattern of corn is just flat bullish. The sideways market that we've been into is basically since October on the lead futures contract. We broke above that this week with some strong advances after coming off of the month of January with a monthly reversal to the upside. I think this breakout of this sideways pattern about 30 to 35 cents, depending upon where you want to kind of measure the width of this sideways pattern. I think you add that to the top end of this, and I think that tells you old crop corn has a shot well into the 460s. So I think new crop corn will have to go along with that. I'm quite friendly of the corn market from a pure technical perspective, and export demand is just out of sight. The exporters are selling it faster than they can get it bought, and I think you're going to see some awful hefty sales as we go forward from here.
Does that get capped on the export market when wheat comes in this summer?
Well, the wheat market, if you notice the wheat market, it has been kind of trading a counter-seasonal type pattern. It's been counter-seasonal down here through the month of December and January, when you normally kind of have a rally into February high. The wheat market now has turned around, and now we're in a counter-seasonal advance in wheat. And I think it tells you anytime a market goes counter-seasonal, tells you that the underlying fundamentals, we may not know them yet, but I think either demand for wheat or the overall supply of wheat is going to be much smaller than probably what the trade had priced into it during the month of January.
Well, and Todd, what I would say is, you know, I still think you have to be cautious. You can certainly use short-dated options, the new options that we've got out and have been using for a few years that are representative of both the December contract and the November contract, and yet expire either in February, April, June, or December. I just think you have to, it depends upon how much you already have sold or how much you have covered already on the board. That's really what it comes down to. Some people are heavily covered. But I do think that you have to be careful because we all know that acreage is still going to be the key. And I think that the number that's going to come out on the 21st at the Ag Forum is going to probably be a very large number. And the trade, whether they want to believe it or not, it's still something to trade.
Let's bring Glenn Ring into the conversation from Cedar Falls, Iowa at Glenn Ring Enterprises. You've been listening for a bit to us. There's some discrepancy between where things might be at this time. What's your view of the marketplace, Glenn?
Well, it's just an exorbitance of riches of things to look at right now for me. There's several keys out here that I'm running on. First of all, it goes back to last November when I tracked commodity cycles. I had a three-year cycle low due in October. It came in November. This week, as measured by using the Dow UBS index, we completed the bare minimum for a rally in that cycle. Left a bit of a weekly buying exhaustion tail. So the market's got to get beyond this week's high to keep us going. And that is a factor for the grains in particular, because they kind of like to look over the shoulder at that index. On top of that, I have to take a bit of an issue on the 45-week count on corn. In the one that I track back to 2002, it's been pretty precise, and I have the turn due this week, not as a cycle but as a turn, and a lot of the turns have been set up by swings just like we've seen a handful of weeks into it. In the last 9 years in a row, we made swings, intermediate, what I would call on a weekly chart, highs or lows in corn the first week of January. We got it. A lot of those swings only last 2, 3, 4 weeks. We've gotten that. I am not at all ready to stand in front of this thing and sell it. Instead, I'm ready to see if the market will stop on this rally right now, this week or next. I've got a 45-week turn. I've got an 89-week turn coming due next week, and I've got also a couple of other turns out there that are due right in the same time frame. And we've rallied into all three of the primary ones I've got. And so it puts the lays down the burden for the bulls to keep it going. I'm actually like to be friendly in this time frame, coming off the three-year cycle low, where I believe we are in the long-term cycle, going all the way back to the short crop long tail aspect of 2012. I've got major lows due in 2016-17. This is supposed to be the reprieve year, or maybe I should better say it, reprieve half year in that cycle. So if we're going to have friendly action, it would be the first handful of months of this year. What complicates my picture a little bit is I've had a 9-year turn due in wheat. Usually that's marked in December, but when wheat has gone sideways in December, it usually ends up lower at the end of February, early March. And alternates to the December marking of a 9-year turn, they're usually marked in March or April. Did we split the difference? Maybe. I happen to agree with the take on wheat that we're probably going to find out that things are a little less bearish for wheat, but will that be as a spread issue, eventually against the corn and beans or not?
You, of course, are listening to Commodity Week. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Our panelists today include Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson, Mike Zuzlo of Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting, and Dan Zwicker of CGB Enterprises. Glenn Ring of Glenn Ring Enterprises is on the phone line. Remember, you can always find us online. Now, the address there is willag.org. That's willag.org.
Comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
This program is a production of Illinois Public Media. We're located here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Now here's Ed Kieser with a look at the South American weather forecast.
We have extreme weather for crops in South America to talk about. It's flooding in some fields in Argentina, while it's unusually hot and dry over a large portion of Brazil. Of course, extreme weather typically does not bode well for crops. The rainfall pattern over time in Argentina has been problematic this growing season, going from too dry to plant to too wet to plant, and then to too dry again. Now Argentina is back in a wet mode. Frequent bouts of showers and thunderstorms have occurred in the past week, and that will continue into the coming week. Soybeans needed rain and have now gotten it. The issue now turns to flooding. With frequent heavy rainfall expected to continue into the middle of next week, many fields and high production areas will flood. At this point, it appears that the adverse weather in Argentina this season has impacted corn more than soybeans. However, if drier weather does not come soon, flooding will adversely affect more and more beans. At least a break in the rain does appear likely later next week. In Brazil, early planted crops, including the first crop and double crop areas, fared well. But extreme weather is likely to reduce late planted full season and second season crops, including much of the safrinha corn. An unusually large and strong upper air ridge of high pressure is covering eastern Brazil. With the exception of the state of Mato Grosso, all production areas of Brazil and Paraguay have been hot and dry this week. This unusually dry period of weather will last into at least the middle of next week. Toward the end of the week, some showers and thunderstorms are possible, especially south and west, across Rio Grande do Sul, Santa Catarina, and Mato Grosso do Sul. However, from Sao Paulo northward into Goiás, Minas Gerais, and Bahia, hot and dry weather could last longer, putting late season crops in jeopardy. The markets will be monitoring the weather in Brazil closely in the coming week.
Our thanks to Ed Kieser, meteorologist, for his update of the South American weather forecast. Here are the weekly changes on the settlement prices from the CME Group. Friday to Friday, March corn up 10 and a quarter cents at $4.44 and a quarter. December at $4.60, up a dime. March bean meal at $13.31 and a half, 48 and three quarter cents higher this Friday than last. And November at $11.21 and three quarters, up 17 and a quarter. March bean meal on the week at $446.40, up $20.30. That's a new contract high, life of contract high, even on the settlement price. March bean oil at $38.57, 93 cents higher. It's still struggling at the bottom of its range. March wheat at $5.77 and a half, up 21 and three quarters. July at $5.83 and three quarters, up 22 and a quarter. April live cattle at $140.40, down 25, breaching its life of contract highs. March feeder cattle at $167.80, down $1.62 and a half on the week. And April lean hogs at $94.72 and a half, down 7.5 cents. You're listening to Illinois Public Media. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
This edition of Commodity Week is recorded on the 7th day of February. Dan Zwicker, why don't you take a moment either to comment or ask a question? That one is up to you.
I know Glenn spends a lot of time on more of the psychology side of the market and how people react to it, but I guess I'd like to have his take at least on the overall raw chart picture of corn, if he does take a look at the raw chart picture.
I do, and on its own merits, I couldn't agree more. The sideways action, basing action here is very encouraging, what gnaws at me is, and we may get a sharp rally, what gnaws at me is we've seen this kind of setup in other markets. We saw it last early fall in wheat. We had a sharp rally only then to die and go to new contract lows, a month or two later. We had sharp rallies in sugar, had sharp rallies even in coffee before they went on to new lows and those kind of things. So I'm quite a bit worried about this being a bit of a trap in corn. With that said, again, I'm encouraged by the chart action itself. If the market's rallying beyond next week, then these weekly counts I've got are so precise that if we go on through that, then all I can say is they shrunk early or they, put it this way, they didn't mark tops. So it's up to the market to show. The other key, though, that goes along with this is I think we've got a couple of sleeping giants out here, and one is the stock market, which may not be so sleepy, but it's a sleeping giant in terms of what's possible coming here. And the other one's the dollar index, which has truly been sleeping. If you like the basing action in corn, you'd love it in the dollar index. since we lifted in October, we had that sharp rally. We've been sideways ever since in a very well-defined trading range pattern. In fact, one I call a TRV pattern. And the way it's unfolding reminds me of orange juice in back in 91 or 92. Once we came out of that sideways pattern, it absolutely erupted. So those are a couple things that are out there that bother me. This week's low, I think, maybe false hope in the stock market, probably lead to a 1 to 3 weeks of bounce. If we can't get to new highs with that bounce, if we start to roll over, then I see much, much bigger breaks coming in the stock market, big enough to be a problem for the marketplace.
You know, Glenn, you basically rolled right into the question that I wanted to ask you. You know, money flow from the Dow to commodities and back and forth
right.
is extremely important to impact, you know, impacting prices. I looked at from September 2011 through the end of December 2013, the Dow was up 156%. The German Dow was up 192%.
Mm-hmm.
And you talked about, you know, maybe not being able to expect it in the U.S. Dow. What about the European situation?
And well, short answers, Glenn.
What's that?
The short answers.
Okay. I don't have a strong take on Europe. I think it's going to rest with our market right here on that part of it. One quick point about the stock market. Our total monthly volume of all U.S. stocks is half of what it was in 2007. Whenever money decides to move out, there may not be the trading volume liquidity to take the other side. That's the risk I see.
You, of course, are listening to Commodity Week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Our panelists include Jackie Vakes and Mike Zuzulo and Dan Zwicker. Glenn Ring is on the phone line. We'll continue our conversation off air, and you can always hear it on our full program at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our programming. Let's get a final word from our panelists, and we'll start with you, Mike Zuzulo. I take it that you did a quick check and have found some new information for me.
Yeah, I got some breaking news, Todd. Press release from USDA. We will get new 10-year agriculture projections February 13th at 11 a.m. Eastern Time next Friday. So I think you want to stay very focused on new crop as far as getting some new crop hedges in place before those projections come out, with the idea that if they're as big as Informa thinks they are, the trade will try and take the market down one more time.
10 seconds, Dan Zwicker.
If the 50-day moves across the 100-day in corn, is put the pedal to the metal.
And Jackie Vakes.
Well, everything we've talked about just says you need to be prepared for any market moves in either direction. You know, world policy and weather can throw your plan a curve at any time. Stay warm.
More from Commodity Week online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming. This one is a production of Illinois Public Media.